warnings to the Palestinian religious and political establishment. John, the baptizer of the masses, declared to us and all who would hear at the close of last week's sermon, or last week's scripture, these words, "I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." "The Son of God is coming," John shouted in the wilderness, all with the odor of grasshoppers and wild honey on his breath, for emphasis. "A king is entering our world from beyond the edge of eternity, a humble servant king who will love us by doing the dirtiest jobs, which we all avoid. This humble God will one day fill his followers with his Spirit so that we can break free from our spiritual and physical shackles, so that we may love as we were meant to love, so that we may live life to its absolute maximum capacity. So are you ready to meet him? Would you all please stand one more time as we read aloud together the holy words of Scripture for this week? Ready? One, two, three. "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.' The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for this good news, this gospel of Mark. And thank you that the words of this scripture are true, that you have entered into our world, that you have come alongside us, and now you have given us your Holy Spirit, eternal life, if we have received you. Bless us this day as we turn to your word for your guidance and your life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As a pastor and missionary, I and my family have had the experience of crossing over many borders, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Our daughter, Hannah, used to share in her own testimony that she attended 10 different schools by the time she graduated from high school, and to date, lived in more than 18 different places spread out over 8 separate countries. One border we crossed together as a family was while we were living in Beit Jala, Israel, in the Palestinian West Bank, next to Bethlehem. On a particular Sunday, we decided to go to church across the border into Jerusalem with some of our fellow Christians who were volunteering as caregivers at a residential facility for handicapped Arab youth and children. I thought we would do the same thing we had always done: catch a taxi to the main checkpoint, then walk past the watchful guns and tanks of the Israeli army cordon stationed as extra security after Yasser Arafat's death at the end of 2004. Then we would hail a minibus for the ride to a large Jewish Christian church's evening service in downtown Jerusalem. No problem, no fuss, especially for an American citizen. Instead, the small group on this particular Sunday started walking up the hill from our building until we reached a desolate area between rusted fences and concrete pylons. The trek continued as the sun started setting early on that cold January day until I realized and confirmed that we had walked from the West Bank into Israel without seeing a single soldier. Apparently, the final version of the tall dividing wall between the Palestinian territories and Israel was still being built, and this one spot allowed us to traverse the border in a more direct line, reducing our final taxi costs and using our time more efficiently. We arrived at church and enjoyed several hours with a mix of international Christians, singing the praises of our Messiah in a range of languages, and feeling much blessed by the worship and the Word. Coming home on our own, since the others were taking some time off in Jerusalem and staying there overnight, we found out that the regular checkpoint was closed and that we needed to go to a more isolated one at the top of the mountain overlooking Beit Jala. It would be more than a mile from the checkpoint to our ministry home through dark streets lit by the meager electrical infrastructure present in Palestine at that time. We climbed out of the taxi on the Israeli side, crossed the border again, passing hunkered down nests of troops and a heavy machine gun emplacement. A short distance past the guards, a group of young Arab men started catcalling in our direction from a hill overlooking the street. We knew that some fellow Christians had been through dangerous encounters with Palestinians who thought the strangers might be Israeli spies. And these friends of ours, one of them had told us that they had been taken hostage as a prelude to being killed. God had miraculously delivered these missionaries from being executed at the final moment. So we knew that we needed to be alert, prepared, and prayerful as we walked quickly toward our apartment. The men started to follow us at about 50 yards distance, but we power walked quickly as a family, praying harder and palming our pocket knives, flashlights, and a steel baton in case we needed to fight. God must have given us swifter feet because our distance from the group opened up until they were far behind. The only remaining tense moment came when we were within a stone's throw of our facility as a car streaked by us and stopped just in front of us, throwing open its back doors quickly. Debbie and I moved ahead of Hannah to counter any attack, but it wound up this was a different group, and they were benign. For Debbie and me, our hearts were pounding as we thought about what could have happened. Meanwhile, eighth grade Hannah said, "Cool, can we do that again?" So, why subject ourselves to all of that as we crossed over that guarded border? Simply, it was love. Love for God, for his glory, and for his will to be done. We crossed into Jerusalem because we loved being with the people of God and believed that he wanted us to worship together with his people that night. And we came back across to Beit Jala because God had given us his love for the least of these, the handicapped children and youth we would be serving at the first shift early the next morning. Now, please don't misunderstand and think that this story is about us or our accomplishments. We are not naturally courageous people. We cross these borders because someone long ago crossed another border, opening up the pathway for each of us to know God in an intimate way and to have his Spirit dwell in us. Any measure of faith, effectiveness in ministry, or courage comes from the Holy Spirit, which John spoke about. My prayer today is that we will all be filled with the Holy Spirit's courage as we learn about the way God called his only Son to cross the border into our world so that we may be healed from our sins and empowered to serve as he did. Jesus understands well what it means to be homeless and to shift to where the Spirit takes him. Our passage for today affirms the truth that love crosses borders. In this section of Mark's Gospel, we see Jesus formally beginning his public ministry by willingly participating in the act of baptism, though he has no sins from which he must repent and be cleansed. The text mentions that he started his journey toward the Jordan River from his hometown of Nazareth, 90 miles away, a small community whose name, when it was spoken aloud, was often thought to be synonymous with the word despised. Nazareth was devalued and overlooked. So if you said to someone next to you that I came from that town of Nazareth, it would be almost like saying, "Hi, my name is Richard. I'm from Dung Heap up north. Mind if I sit down next to you?" That's what Nazareth was thought of, a dung heap, something to be despised. So even the place where Jesus grew up is a hint at how deeply God entered into our broken world. The terrible effect of sin in our lives causes us to be destitute and rejected by God, who will not allow anything which is not perfect in holiness into his kingdom. But out of love for and identification with sin-infected humanity, the Son of God shows us that he is willing to come alongside us in our muddy plodding through a world mired in anti-God attitudes and idols, and lift us out of our destiny apart from him. Let me illustrate this truth in another way. This glove is like fallen humanity, having the form of life, but without the substance. We are actually spiritually dead unless God fills the vacuum in our being with himself. Jesus came into the world, clothing himself in our frail humanity, so that he could lead us to eternal life. When you give your trust to Jesus, he fills you up and starts to exercise the stiffness out of our once spiritually dead joints, helping you to move, helping you to serve in the world as he would serve. God so loves his Son that he cannot help but announce out loud, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." That is the pronouncement God makes about Jesus and about any person whom he adopts as his son or daughter. When Christ fills you, God actually looks past the outer shell and sees his Son and his holiness. Our sins are completely forgiven and erased from his sight. For some of us here, those words of beloved affirmation are sorely lacking in our lives. We have been driven to frenzied activity or self-medicated numbness so that we can cope with the pain of never hearing those words, "I love you and I am so proud of you," from those who have mattered to us. Sadly, we can often allow our view of God to be skewed by the imperfections of our earthly parents. The God of all creation, who created you in his image, wants you to know now how valued you are to him. Embrace him through faith today, if you have never done so. And if you already have done so, but are stuck in old lies and habits, hear these words again, spoken over you by the Spirit. And I want to ask you, if you would, just for a moment, close your eyes as I say these words of blessing for every believer here. And if you're willing to, please also just reach out a hand to somebody near you and just put a hand on their hand or a hand on their shoulder, if you can, do that. So close your eyes, put a hand on the shoulder of somebody near you, and then receive these words from the Lord. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. I am so pleased with who you are and who you are becoming. I see in your doubts, I see you in your doubts, and want to offer you rest and peace. I love you, my child. Serve me with your whole heart as one who is fully secure in my love. Amen. You can hug the person nearby if you want to, too. Now, if you can truly embrace that truth, most of the dysfunctions in your walk through this world will slowly fade away. Acquiring more on this earth will no longer matter to you because you know that your true home is in heaven with your Father, who loves you completely and crossed the border in love to be with you. For so many of the mothers and their children who resided with us, with Debbie and I, in the Salvation Army program that we managed in Honolulu and lived in, which is for homeless addicts in recovery, this issue of being truly loved was at the core of their destructive behavior. Sure, they needed to detox, learn better habits and disciplines, but more so, they needed to see themselves differently. Only God could change them from the inside out in a way which would last. stripped of their former material cushions or dependence on illegal activities, they had to look in the mirror each day and be honest about what they saw. Their minds needed to change, to repent of their resistance to God's truth, so that a new foundation could be laid. The same is true for many of the people here and around us. We insulate ourselves with success, entertainment, being too loud or too quiet, when we need to admit that we are addicts ourselves, addicted to anything which will keep us from seeing ourselves as we really are, destitute unless we are in a right relationship with God. Now, after God's pronouncement over Jesus, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to face the tempter. To drive Jesus into the wilderness is almost like describing the effect of a trained sprinter being compelled to burst out of the starting blocks. Now, for me, as a high school and college sprinter, then as a track coach, I knew when I was ready to start a race after weeks of practice and honing my reaction to the starting gun. All my senses were ready and eager to face the exhilaration and strenuous pain of the race ahead. Jesus was prepared through the first 30 years of his life to face Satan and to ultimately defeat him, not only here, but on the cross. Mark's short description of this 40-round MMA battle is not as detailed as the other Gospels, mainly because Jesus is overcoming through faith and obedience his tiredness, his hunger from fasting for 40 days, the constant danger from wild carnivorous animals all around him, exposure to the elements without shelter, and Satan's lies. This short description is aimed at helping the readers to be affirmed in their understanding that Jesus is the Son of God. God desires for us to fully comprehend that love ultimately overcomes evil. I've often read commentaries which describe another foe during Jesus' wilderness experience as being loneliness. But you know, I don't believe that is accurate at all. Jesus was never alone. God's Spirit was always with him, along with the angels helping to protect and provide for him in ways which we can only imagine. God's love continued to pour down upon Jesus, and Jesus stayed in constant communication with his Father. Just as we can when we face trials and temptations. God's love will overcome any attempt to distract us from his goodness and wisdom. Now, our church has faced the deaths of so many beloved friends and family members recently, and it would be easy to listen to the voice of Satan who whispers, "How untimely is this death? God must have been asleep when this happened. How can you continue to trust him when you feel all this pain and confusion?" Just as Jesus did when Satan tried to make him worship the created things, just as Jesus did when Satan tried to make him worship the created things rather than the Creator, God Almighty, we must set our hearts and minds upon God, staying in constant communication with him through his word and through prayer. And the God who is victorious over everything the world and Satan could throw at him will provide you with his strength to persevere over whatever temptation you may be facing right now. Are you in a wilderness now? Are there forces aligned to try to woo you away from your faith? Know that the pain that we endure while we await heaven is real. But pain also serves a vital purpose. If our lives were only filled with painless comfort, we might end up with empty souls and heartless testimonies. It is in our endurance through Jesus that we best grasp the depth of God's love. That is a gift which cannot be taken away. When I was going through junior college at one point in Hawaii, there was a place nearby our home which was one of the last leper colonies, Hansen's disease colonies in the state. And a man who was stricken with Hansen's disease and who had lost all of his fingertips, part of his nose and his ears and his chin to leprosy, came to our school. He was in a class with me. Leprosy damages because the nerve endings are dulled, and someone who normally gets an injury of some sort won't know that they've been injured. They won't realize that they're infected because all the senses, the nerve endings, have been taken away. That's how someone becomes disfigured from leprosy. Pain, as difficult as it is, serves a purpose. Pain lets us feel. Pain leads us to faith. And in God's economy in this fallen world, he allows pain. He allows grieving because somehow he can work it for good. He can work in the midst of it for good. How many here have a testimony of God showing himself to be faithful to you during a painful season? If you have a testimony where God has been faithful to you in a painful season, would you just say out loud and hold up your hand and say, amen. Amen. A little louder. Amen. I'm going to become an African-American church before you know it. Raise your hands high, and you said amen loud. Now, if you could, I want to ask you, would you trade away what you learned about God and yourself? Say no out loud if that is true for you. No. All right. Very good, Dennis. Was that you? Or was that Justin? No, that was Luis. No. I was reading the other day about the underground church in North Korea and how they reacted when they were told that Christians in the United States are praying for them. Praying for us, they said. We are praying for you. You have so many things and wealth that you can become distracted and depend upon yourselves. We who have nothing except our faith are so joyful and dependent upon Jesus because we know our faith is the only thing which lasts. Later this year, we may have the privilege of hearing more about such Christians in persecuted countries when a ministry called Voice of the Martyrs may come and share at our church. So be sure to invite your friends to hear about that. I also want to mention that I'm putting together a video event using Billy Graham's newest message on heaven as part of our effort to reach out into this neighborhood and invite folks to come to our church to visit. So be on the lookout for some flyers with more specifics later this month. Love crosses borders. Love overcomes evil. This is the starting gun for the good news of Jesus. Let us rejoice and be glad in the servant king who is leading our church. These words from the song are what I'll close with. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Amen. Let's pray. Crossed borders. You came from heaven to earth to show us the way and to be the way so that we might be able to cross borders as well. Cross into the wilderness to vanquish Satan, to be the carrier of good news, to overcome areas of weakness and wildness in our hearts and lives. Father, we give you all honor and glory. And we pray that you would become more and more real. We open our borders of our hearts, our minds, our lives. Cross over freely. Fill us and move in us. In Jesus' name.